Jesus left that throne in glory to come into a very messy, very wicked world, and he came on a mission. Born of a virgin, the Son of God, he came to suffer and to die, to take our sins to the cross, to go in our place, to take our punishment, to take all of our guilt, to take all of our shame upon himself, that through faith in him, we could be forgiven and free and made new, made sons and daughters of God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, he wrote, "For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God." Jesus not only died for us, he rose for us. He rose for us. And we serve a risen Savior who came out of that grave. What a difference that makes. Somebody might ask, well, how do you know? How do you know that he is alive? How do you know that he came out of that grave? There's a song, a hymn, "He Lives." I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy and I hear his voice of cheer. And just in the time that I need him, he is always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. And he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. See, I can read, and I love to read, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit brings it to life of Jesus' interaction with other people. But I'm telling you, in the lives of his sons and daughters today, he lives. And he speaks to us. And he shows us day by day that he is with us. Have you heard his voice of cheer? I need to hear that voice of cheer in my life, and I do. God is so good. I can think back of times of his faithfulness, times where I was overwhelmed with grief and was desperate for hope, and I called out to him, and he spoke that hope and that joy that I needed in that moment. He is alive. He is alive. I can think of times where I was immersed in guilt over my sin, and I cried out to God, and he cleansed me, and he forgave me, because he's alive today. He is alive. I can think of times in my life where years in darkness, years of living in idolatry and lies, and how Jesus, when I called out to him, brought me into the light, brought me into his goodness. He is alive today. He is a risen Savior. John 20. Starting verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already removed from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple left, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped, and he looked in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. However, he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came, following him, and he entered the tomb, and he looked at the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had come first to the tomb also entered then, and he saw, and he believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." When she said this, She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then he said these things to her. The sound of a familiar voice. The sound of a familiar voice. Maybe you've had times in your life where you got a phone call from a family member that you haven't seen in a couple years that you love. And no matter what you were going through in that moment, the way that that just touched your heart to hear that voice, that familiar voice, maybe a parent, maybe a child you haven't spoken to in a while. Maybe you do like I do and save some of those recordings when somebody leaves a message because you don't know when you're going to hear from them again. I've got a message on my phone from Pastor Jesse Horner, one of my mentors, from 2 years ago. Just calling to encourage me. The Lord prompted him to give me a call. And he just said, "I just called to encourage you and tell you that God has got his hand upon you, his goodness in your life." And I listen to that sometimes. Yeah. Not just the words, but the voice. That familiar voice and that encouragement. You know, I doubt that we can imagine Mary Magdalene in the moment, what it meant to her to hear that familiar voice of Jesus. Overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with sorrow, overwhelmed with fear, and to hear the voice of Jesus say, "Mary, Mary," the power of his voice speaking there at the tomb, speaking her name. All of her hope before that moment had washed away because all of her hope had been in Jesus. She thought Jesus was dead and gone. Of course, it was a familiar voice because this wasn't the first time that she had spoken with Jesus. He'd spoken to her many times before and changed her life forever. I've got three things I want us to recognize today about the words of Jesus and the voice of Jesus. First of all, Jesus spoke words of conversion to Mary, and Jesus speaks words of conversion, of change, of transformation to us. And we need that. We need life change. We need to leave behind the ways of death and walk in the ways of life. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8, it records that Mary Magdalene was possessed by 7 demons. You think you're messy. Can you imagine the torment? Can you imagine the life that this woman lived, the suffering, the just her thoughts, the pain in her heart? Can you imagine being so controlled by Satan? I mean, I know sometimes that we, you know, of course, in our sin, there's reason to have shame and guilt until we come and receive that forgiveness and that cleansing. But can you imagine being possessed by 7 demons? And everybody knew it. Everybody had seen her lifestyle and heard her words and saw her actions. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder that conversation, that first conversation, maybe some of you have seen the Chosen, Mary Magdalene, when she has that conversation with Jesus for the first time. You guys seen that?
Yeah.
And I know it's fictionalized, but how beautiful. How beautiful. She's walking in torment. And to hear Jesus say, "Mary, Mary." And in that moment, to feel the love of God wash over her and to be set free of all that sin and all that shame as she met the Savior. Mary desperately needed transformation. She needed change. And when she met the Master, she heard words that set her free from those demons. She heard words of conversion and change. And I don't know exactly what he said, but I think maybe something along the lines of, I see you, Mary. I see you. And I love you. I know who you are. And I want you to believe in me, and I want to set you free today. And he did. He did. And her sins were forgiven, and she was made whole, and she was made a daughter of the King. And she left that old life behind and followed Jesus. And after that, she had seen him. She was there at the crucifixion with some other women watching. She had seen him crucified and dead and buried. And on that resurrection morning, there at the tomb, this woman with an incredibly troubled past was the first one to witness, the first human being to witness the risen Savior. The grace of God, the goodness of God, to give her that privilege to be the first one there at the empty tomb, the first one to see Jesus, the first one to speak with him. God is so good. Amen. He is so good. You know, maybe you've done things in your life that you are ashamed of. We all have. We all have. Maybe you've got some regrets. Things that you wish you'd done, or maybe things you wish you hadn't said. There may even be strongholds in your life. Maybe there's a demonic presence in your life. Or maybe you're just selfish and sinful like everybody else, like me. There's an anonymous poet, I want to share this with you, just a very brief poem, expressing our longings. And he or she, they wrote, "Oh, I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our sins and mistakes could be laid aside like a shabby old coat, never to be put on again." There is such a place.
Yes, amen.
There is such a place. That place could be right here this morning for you. It's the place that you meet Jesus, wherever that is. The place that you meet Jesus is the place that he can change your life and he can make you new. Just like he did for Mary Magdalene. Yeah, I think it's significant that Mary was the first one to see the risen Lord. I think the Lord's telling us something through that. Telling us something about resurrection, telling us something about conversion. That without Christ's resurrection, we couldn't be changed. Unless he is alive, we could never be transformed and be made sons and daughters of God. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 wrote this desire. He said, to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. He said, that's my desire. I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. And it is that resurrection power, because he is risen and alive, that we can be changed today. It is our sins that took Jesus to that cross, but it is the power of God that raised him. And God says that that same resurrection power is available to you and to me when we call upon the name of the Lord. That same power continues to work today. It's an invitation for anyone. Jesus says, if you will repent and you will call upon him, if you will turn away from sin and darkness and turn toward Jesus, that same power that raised him from the dead, that same resurrection power, can wash away all of your guilt today, wash away every stain, and make you new. Jesus also spoke words of belonging. Jesus spoke words of belonging. He not only saved Mary Magdalene, but called her to value and appreciation and significance. And she got to live that out. She got to live out belonging to him in ministry, serving alongside other brothers and sisters. After her conversion, God's word says that Mary Magdalene assumed her place among the other disciples. She and several others traveled with Jesus, helping to support them out of their own means, in Luke 8 it says. We're not told exactly what that ministry was. Maybe she made meals and sold those, or made garments or something, or just prepared food for people. But somehow she worked in ministry and helped to supply along with the other people for that ministry. She belonged. She belonged. She had a life of significance. And it was a response to the love of God. She had received the love of Jesus. She had accepted God's love. And because she was so full of God's love and acceptance of her, she was able to serve. Before conversion, she could have never done that. She was trapped in sin. God's word says that for those who are in sin, that we're a slave to it. She was trapped in a cycle of sin. You know, there's the world may tell you before you're saved, the world may say, you're all that. Live your own truth, you know. Try to puff us up. But deep down, we know God creates us with a knowledge of our need for God, and we know that we need Him. We know that we need forgiveness. We know that we need to be changed. We know deep down that we're sinners. And when we know that, when we have guilt and we have shame and we carry that around in our life, we start doing trashy things, right? We feel like we're trash deep down, and our consciences weigh heavy on us. We start doing trashy things. But Jesus' call is to come and belong to Him. He says, that's not who I created you to be. I created you to be a treasure, not trash. I called you to be my child. And when we lay hold of that, we understand that we're accepted and we belong to Him, and we start listening to His word and we start believing it. He says, I am making you new. You are my masterpiece. You are my child, created to do good works, to do great things. Can I get a witness? Were anybody else beside me that was ever just trapped in your sin and darkness and selfishness, and you could have never, in your own flesh, in your best effort, you could have never done what God has done through you since you surrendered your life to Him. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. And God says that His grace is greater than our sin. And even as His messy kids who mess up sometimes and still sin, He says, you are still loved. You are still under the grace of God. You still belong. Even on your best day. Even on your worst day. You guys know the song? K-Love listeners? On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Amen. Jesus gives words of belonging. You belong to Him. And it is a privilege to belong to the King. And not only that, I mean, it blows my mind because He's the one working through us to do good things, but He still shows us appreciation. Can you imagine how many times Jesus is so good as Mary lived with Him and walked with Him with the other disciples that He said, thank you, Mary. Thank you for making those garments and selling those and supporting what's going on here. He is so good. His word says that there is coming a day when we get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Isn't God so good? There are no little things to Him. When God is in it, there are no little things. There's no small people. There's no little. When you are doing what you were doing for the King, it's a big deal, no matter what it is. And He sees it. He notices it. And He's pleased with that. He appreciates our service. Whether you think it's great or small, whether anybody else thinks it's great or small, to Him it's great because you're doing it for Him. Jesus spoke words of commission. Jesus also spoke words of commission. He calls us to be a witness. He tells us to go and tell. When Jesus spoke Mary's name, when she realized who this was, I think her eyes were just burning with tears and her heart was so overcome with grief in that moment. But when He spoke her name and she realized who it was, and she couldn't help but embrace Him, just the joy. And she laid hold of Him and worshiped and just loved. But Jesus said, Mary, I haven't ascended to the Father. I'm still here. I think he was saying, listen, there'll be time for that. But right now, along with worship, this is an occasion for witness. You've seen something here. And you need to tell what you have seen. You know, I think sometimes in the Christian life, we think of the resurrection as a doctrine that we believe in. And it is. It's a truth we believe in. But it's so much more than that. It's an experience that we have. When Jesus saved me, when I cried out to him, when I was on my living room floor and didn't even know the weight of my sin and my shame until I bowed down on the floor and cried out to him, God, save me, and felt all of that lifted, I experienced his resurrection power in me. He made me new. And he gave me not just a truth to believe, but an experience to share, to tell people he is alive. He is risen and he has saved me. Mary Magdalene obviously understood what she's supposed to do. She went and told the disciples. She shared the good news. I have seen the Lord. This is what he said to me. I read about a newspaper that had an interesting editorial in it, just very short. I want to share this with you. It was about Easter. This editorial said, Easter is usually a quiet occasion. Millions of Americans make a special effort to go to church on Easter Sunday. Praise God. Easter is a wholesome kind of holiday. It gives all of us an opportunity to recuperate in a small measure from the harassments of our daily lives. Amen. But that's not all the Lord intended it to be. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus should thrust us into other people's lives. It should take us places we are not comfortable sometimes. It should help us to enter into conversations that scare us. It should take us, just like it did to Mary, into situations where we go and tell what we have experienced because Jesus is alive today. It's not something we can keep to ourselves. It's something we have to share, no matter how people respond. Whether they think we're a fool, I want to be a fool for Jesus. Amen. Lord, make me a fool for you. Whether they reject the message or receive it, Jesus doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful, and he says, tell somebody. Tell somebody I'm alive. Let somebody know what I've done in your life. Every disciple telling people the resurrection news. Isn't it just like Jesus to use people who know they're unworthy? Who know the world would never select you to be a spokesperson. But Jesus does. No matter who you are, Jesus does. From the youngest to the oldest, whether you've been following him for a minute or 80 years, Jesus says, tell somebody. Tell somebody I'm alive. Tell somebody what I've done in your life. Tell them good news today. I've heard it said that a Christian is to be a mind through which Christ thinks, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a heart through which Christ loves, and a hand through which Christ helps. God calls all of his children to be public witnesses. All of us, a witness for the King of Kings, a witness to his kingdom. We're to have lives of intentionality. There's a goal. We're supposed to bring people to Jesus. You know, some of us maybe think, man, I wish I was Mary Magdalene. Wish I was one of those apostles. I wish I was one of those 500 who saw him. I wish I was one of those folks who knew him as he was walking on the earth and saw the miracles. But God's word says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's me and you. Blessed are those who have not seen. We have the witness of those who did in the word of God. in the Scriptures. Those who saw his resurrected body, those who saw the nail prints, who spoke with him and walked with him, who saw his ascension, we have their witness. One of my favorite things that I'm glad those who opposed Jesus said, this man's a friend of sinners. They were trying to put him down. They were calling him a loser because he hung out with sinners. I am so glad that he is a friend of sinners. That is good news for me and you. And sinners were drawn to Jesus. They felt his love. They felt his acceptance. They weren't unwelcome because of their sin. They were unwelcome to hang out with the Pharisees. But Jesus wants sinners to come to him. He wants me and you to come to him. He wants us to come and receive cleansing and forgiveness and the power to walk out the life that he has for us, transformation, and help in our circumstances in life. He is happy to take responsibility for us. We turn ourselves over to him. He wants us to come with all of our mess, not to shy away, not to turn away from him, but to draw near to him. You know, sometimes we think, when I get it all together, I'm going to come to Jesus. When I have a good day, I'm going to come to Jesus. When I give up that habit, I'm going to come to Jesus. Pastor Adrian Rogers said, the worst form of badness is human goodness, if that keeps you from repentance and faith. You know, God wants us to experience a new birth, to come as we are to him, exactly as we are. In John 8, there was a woman caught in adultery, the Bible says. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He did not come into this world to condemn any of you. He came to save you. Every one of us, he came to save us. And he did it because of love. Love for the will of the Father, love for us, love for sinners. He wants you to come to him just as you are. To give you life, to give you forgiveness, to clean you up, to give you his joy and his peace and his goodness, to provide significance to you. A success, I've heard success is what you build. Significance is what you build upon. If you want a significant life, you've got to build upon Jesus Christ. It's the only way. He loves you. He loves you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Out of love, he'll let you feel conviction of sin, leading to godly sorrow and repentance. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to draw near to him in faith, to come to that place of repentance, to come to the cross, to come to the only one who can bring you to life. Let's close in prayer. Almighty God, we confess that there is no one like you. There is no one else who can forgive sins. There's no one else who can take our sin away. There's no one else who can take our shame away. There's no one else whose grace is greater than our sin. We thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your power over sin and death through the resurrection. And we invite you, Lord, to have your will in our lives. God, you are good news to us. And you've given us everything we need in Jesus Christ to be made new. God, I know some of my brothers and sisters here today maybe feel beaten down, feel like they have failed you, feel like they are far from you. And God, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit that you would help us to be reminded that your grace is sufficient for us today. That there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that we can walk in freedom as sons and daughters of God. And that you love us. That you are with us and that you are for us today. And God, we thank you for the privilege that you call us to not only be new, but to be witnesses. Witnesses of the resurrection in our lives. And Lord, we know that there's folks that you are drawing for the first time who know that they need your forgiveness and who are ready to turn away from their sin, who are ready to turn away from the darkness and the chaos of this crazy world and to put their trust in you and to say, Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Lord, and I'm not going to trust in my stinking thinking. I'm not going to trust in my best efforts, God. I'm not going to trust in anything this world presents to me. I'm going to trust in you, Jesus. I'm going to trust in you. I believe that all of my sin was placed on you and that you rose again so that I could be new. God, we pray for that gift of faith and repentance for anybody here today who needs that. Lord, you are so worthy of all of our worship, of all of our attention, of all blessing and honor and power and joy. Thank you, Lord, for making us your family. We pray, Lord, as we get ready to go from here shortly, fill us up with so much of you, Lord, that we can't keep it to ourselves. Fill us up with so much joy that we've got to speak the name of Jesus to those around us and say, do you know the Savior? He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. Do you know him? Help us to be bold, Lord, to do that. Even if it's costly, Lord, we want you glorified in our lives. No matter what it cost us, Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.